Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Cesternino, and I have a very special treat for you guys today. We have on the line with us the world's foremost reality TV expert and the recent recipient of the Special Achievement in Reality Reporting Award, and most recently, the happiest man in the world, Mr. Mertz Jaffer joins us on Rob Has a Podcast. Mertz, are you there?
I am here.
And Mertz, you know, of course, for the uninitiated, I think we need to set up the reason why we're having you on the show. And, you know, we were talking about when to have you on at some point, and it was getting close to the end. And as we all know, you are the number one Boston Rob super fan in the world.
I prefer the term advocate.
Advocate in the world.
Yes.
Number one Boston Rob advocate. And we were trading messages back and forth about maybe having you on pre-finale. You were getting very nervous. but I thought win or lose, it would have been better to have you on after the fact. And so yada, yada, yada. $1 million for Boston Rob later. Here you are, Mertz Jaffer. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing me back. I'm very, very, very excited to be here. I am very excited to launch into a serious debate about why Boston Rob has now cemented his position as the greatest ever. And I believe that Survivor Redemption Island has erased any doubt. I know you initially introduced me as being a treat to your audience. Hopefully they won't feel it's like a trick. So.
Yeah, let me talk to the audience for a second here. If you don't want to hear from Mertz, now I'm going to ask you to if you want to give him a shot. But if you know already that for whatever reason that you don't want to hear from Mertz, please just don't listen to this podcast. I don't want to get a bunch of comments from people who if they don't want to hear. I like to hear from Mertz. That's why he's on the show. So if you personally don't want to hear from Mertz, just please don't listen to this episode. And we'll catch you on the next episode rather than write a bunch of comments that you don't like Mertz. I think everybody here knows what they're getting with Mertz.
Exactly.
So if you enjoy Mertz, feel free, listen on. I think it'll be an entertaining conversation. And if you don't like Mertz, just skip this one and don't flame the comments. That's all I ask you. You're very
perfect.
Controversial, Mertz.
I am. I very much appreciate that, Rob. I think we're starting off on the right foot. I'm ready to go. I've just been, you know, watching this season. I've been slowly taking notes. You know, I have to tell you that certainly when it started, I had set out certain goals that I wanted Rob to reach. You know, I think that one of the main ones was just to get to the merge. And then when it seemed like he had a firm hold on his tribe, I was just honestly hoping for like a final five or a final four. So once he had achieved that, I was pretty happy. You know, I definitely watching Survivor as many times and for as many years as I have, I certainly believe that the jury would be bitter, you know. So suffice to say that when the result was announced, I was, you know, obviously it was like just pure ecstasy. But
I too was very surprised because this whole way through. I thought that Boston Rob was doing a very good job, but I did not think that he was going to win the game because it has been the history of Survivor for the person who plays the game that Rob plays to lose the game to a bitter jury.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've seen it happen. We saw it happen to Rob himself on the All-Stars. We saw it go down with Russell. The jury got it right. And I know you said you're expecting a debate.
And I think that that's a point that, you know, already the debates have started whether, you know, Rob should have played for the fourth time. You know, he was sort of like, I think the line that, I don't know if it was Eliza, but I heard somebody use the line of, you know, it was like an Olympian, you know, taking on a bunch of like amateur athletes, you know. And before we get into that, I do want to sort of preface it by saying that a point that can't get lost in this whole thing is the magnitude of what the Redemption Island jury did, you know?
Right.
That the Redemption Island jury should certainly be credited. I certainly feel that it is the best jury of all time. I don't think that...
Wow.
That, you know, you can argue about Boston Rob, you know, and I will do my best to defend it, but the one point that I think cannot be argued is that this was the best jury ever in the history of the show.
I mean, they did a good job. I mean, are we talking like person for person? Because I think that there's a...
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, am I going to say that it was the most entertaining sort of like question period that I've ever seen? I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying that, you know, really, the questions don't matter, okay? Before they head in there, they know who they're voting for, in my opinion, you know, at least in most cases. So I just feel like they really did the right thing in the end. And in the end, all that matters is not what they say or how bitter they are, you know, or how long they talk for. All that matters is whose name they write down, and they wrote, you know, the right guy's name down.
Well, let me say, in fairness to Rob, he did pick the two best people ever to sit in the final two with. Like, no person. Well, I think Lex or Big Tom could have both voted for Boston Rob had the other two alternatives been Natalie and Philip.
Well, I mean, you know, I know we're talking about the jury here, but you're already starting in on the case of why Rob is the greatest ever. And I mean, you know, starting at the beginning of this.
Wait, I'm like, Natalie, I'm making the argument for you?
You are. You really are. I mean, I didn't even have to bring up the point, you know, like, I mean, I don't know exactly what it was that Rob pinpointed that it was Natalie and Philip that he wanted to take to the end. But certainly, I would say it was definitely within the first, and I'm sure you would agree, within the first 9 days, right? And
I don't know exactly. I know when he first said it on the show, and what was most surprising for me is that he said, hey, this is who I want to take to the end, Natalie and Philip. And then that's – and I had said, well, I know it's not going to be Natalie and Philip because they're not going to tell us who – like, they basically gave us everything along the way. And it was almost like a misdirect a little bit in that they're not going to give us everything.
It was so obvious that it couldn't happen that way, right?
Right. And it did.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I think that that's there's so many things that I like about, you know, Rob's game this time. But I think that was the biggest one is that, you know, you couldn't even if you had said that nobody else is playing and you don't even have to go to tribal council every week. And he still managed to get Philip and Natalie to the end. You know, it's just one of the most impressive things I've ever seen, not only to get yourself to the end, but let's call a spade a spade. Like this guy got who, you know, not only himself, but the two people he wanted to the end all completely and utterly on his own, you know, completely on his own. And you know it.
Yeah, there was not one moment in the entire show where he was in danger. And there was not one moment in the entire show where what he wanted to happen did not happen.
Right. And, you know, it's just it's mind boggling to me. You know, everybody is saying now that it wasn't a fair fight, you know, like he got, you know, he got the good tribe. He got the people that would listen and Russell got the bad tribe. But here's my point to that. You know, the point of the matter is these people are not stupid, you know, like to get on Survivor, you have to be a pretty special personality. You have to have achieved something in your life that made you, you know, noticeable to the casting directors. So these
yes,
are all, these
but
are all,
let me, if
you know,
I may
smart
interject.
People, all these people going, oh, you know, these people were zombies and it was a cult and this and that. Well, I don't agree. You know, I can guarantee you that if Rob and Russell were not on this season, we would have still had a pretty compelling show. Some would argue maybe more compelling. That's not the argument that I'm making. However, you know, don't say that these people, you know, did not have brains, you know, because you're taking away from the fact that Rob, you know, still did something. You know, it's not just, you know, you have to do something to get them to listen to you. And I think that that's being lost. You know, he certainly still managed to convince them.
Yeah, I would say that my point is Rob did an amazing job and perhaps the best job ever. But if you're trying to argue that he did the best job ever against the most incredible competition ever, I will disagree with you on that point.
And that's not what I'm saying. I mean, if you were to ask me, do I prefer Rob's performance on All Stars more than his performance on Redemption Island? No. You know, really, and this is what I was reflecting on my flight home, you know? I was just like, which game did I like better? And, you know, I cannot deny that he played a better game in All Stars, but, you know, that jury, I mean, I'm sorry, it really tainted that season for me, you know? But you know, yeah, the level of competition was certainly, you know, it doesn't get, you know, much better than the competition that he faced in All Stars. So, you know, I mean, to each his own, you know, like, would I have preferred him to win All Stars and not to win Redemption Island? Perhaps. I mean, no, I don't mean that. I wanted him to win both. I wanted him to win all four times.
Merz, at what point did you start to feel like Boston Rob had this thing locked up? What was the moment where you went...
I know exactly. I know exactly when it was.
Because I know exactly the moment that I realized he had it locked up.
It was probably earlier for you because, you know, I was literally on pins and needles, you know, like it was hard for me to even look at the TV when those challenges were happening in the finale. I did not want to watch the challenges.
And where were you? You were in New York at the finale?
I was in New York and I was watching it with some of the alumni.
Okay.
I think the moment that I realized it is when he won that Final Four immunity challenge. And this is why I love Rob so much. You know, it's when he needs immunity the most and when everybody needs it the most, this God just goes out and takes it from you. Okay. He literally goes out there and takes it from you. Mm-hmm. And to win that Final Four, knowing, you know, and Philip and Natalie and Ashley, you know, they all knew, knew that they needed that immunity. If Rob won that immunity, he was going to win the final vote, and they still couldn't beat him, you know?
Although, credit to Rob for winning it, but again, not exactly going up against Ozzy and Tom Westman and Terry in that Final Four.
It's, you know, I think Natalie's a dancer. She's pretty athletic. Didn't Ashley play basketball? You know, Phillip's a former special agent, so I beg to differ, okay?
Wow.
They all had a chance to win that challenge.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they didn't. I'm just saying that, again, the level of competition on the Final Four.
Oh, that's fine. Well, then, that if you want to argue that, then my counterpoint is, then let's credit Rob for taking out anyone who could have beat him up.
Well, that's the then I will give credit for that.
Well, either way, I win the point.
I guess so.
I'm ready here, Rob. You know, I have guns blazing. I have like
you're also the umpire of this debate.
What I have a lot of background info. Like I'm ready to go guns blazing. You know, like I've been a lot of people obviously have hit me up since the victory. You know, we know you're going to go on a big rant and you're going to argue this and you're going to argue that, but you know, it's funny because I came into the podcast, you know, expecting you to really like attack me with like, okay, well, what about this? And what about this? But this time the argument really makes itself. Like I have a hard time even seeing how anyone could root against Rob this season. You know, I guess the only people that could root against Rob, I guess, are the people that have a fundamental problem with him playing for the fourth time. But, you know, to that I say, you know, if he had won in All-Stars, which he was supposed to do, you know, if not for the bitter jury, then he wouldn't have played here. You know, I think you can agree with that. I mean, I'm not even sure if he would have come back for Heroes versus Villains. Like, it's sort of like revisionist history. He should have won All-Stars. The fact that he didn't, you know, I feel like let's just keep giving this guy carte blanche. I really feel that way because, and it was a point that I made in an article that I wrote earlier today, with Rob and Russell and Philip and Coach and guys like that, you know what you're going to get, okay? You know that you're going to be entertained. And while the argument is that continuing to cast them, you know, over like a regular applicant takes away from the show, I still see the point of it because you know that these guys are going to bring the heat, you know? Like, what happens if you like cast somebody, you know, like a Gina Cruz or a Patricia Jackson or something, you know? Why risk that when you know what you're getting with Rob and what you're getting is the greatest human specimen to ever play Survivor.
Mertz, I wanted to ask you, did Rob bring something different to the table this time that he didn't bring to the table in his previous incarnations on the show?
That's a great question. I think that, yeah, he certainly did. I think it was definitely an attitude adjustment, kind of like the John Cena finishing move. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that the beginnings of that started on Heroes versus Villains. You know, like, I think that what killed him, and I think he'll admit this himself, was his attitude on All Stars. You know, like, just his blatant disregard and his arrogance. You know, I mean, that's obviously what ingrained him to me. But I can see, you know, like, playing against people, I can see how they wouldn't appreciate that.
Right.
I think that that's the biggest lesson that I take away. You know, like, I loved the game that Rob played on All-Stars just because it was so raw and visceral and aggressive, you know, and unapologetic. But I think what I've learned is that that's not going to win you Survivor. And certainly that's not something that I would have said back when season eight was airing. I think that it was just the way that he treated the people around him really helped him with the jury this time, you know, with regard to the people in his alliance and even with regard to the people that he was removing. You know, like this time he just voted you out. He wouldn't vote you out, slap you in your face and spit on you as you're taking the walk of shame. And I think that that's kind of what he was doing on All Stars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, and so and I think that that's a valuable lesson to learn. You know, I really think that it was just sort of great seeing, you know, the maturity of Boston Rob. You know, it was just it's like a full circle story. I mean, it was honestly just a beautiful thing to witness. You know, I'm glad that I was alive to see it.
Us too, Mert. Yeah. So you, basically by this season, by the fourth time through, he'll still stab you in the back. He's just not going to twist the knife anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And
except for Matt Elrod.
I don't know, man. I don't know why Matt Elrod had to go and shake the other tribe's, you know, hand. I mean,
yeah, that was pretty messed up.
It was. I talked to, you know, and it's funny because that was actually a question that I was asking to, you know, a lot of people over there. And I was like, you know, how did you feel about that? And I was expecting them to say, oh, Rob took it too seriously. You know, all he did was shake the other team's hand, you know. But actually, surprisingly, almost unanimously, everybody said, yeah, that was pretty messed up. He shouldn't have done that. You know, you got to stick with your team, which definitely surprised me. I thought I was in the minority on that.
I think it's not too big of a deal what he did, especially like if it was somebody
you're like a humanitarian, Rob Sestrini, you know, like after every challenge.
Yeah, that's me pretty much.
Like, you probably like bought gifts for the other side, you know, like you're just
well,
nice guy.
Is it a team of all girls?
Was it Jenna and Heidi then, maybe?
Perhaps. So, Mertz, have you spoken with Boston Rob since Sunday night?
Yes, I definitely talked to him to give him my undying congratulations.
In person or on the phone?
We traded texts, certainly, you know, like it was hard getting a hold of him, not because we didn't want to talk, but because, I mean, you know, he was carted around. Like, I know he went to Jimmy Fallon and then he had to like fly to LA and I think he did Regis and he's filming his new show now. So I think it was just and not to mention he had his entire family and the kids over there. So I think, you know, I mean, everything I needed to say, we certainly sort of got across in text message, but I definitely told him that, you know, I never sort of saw a day when I would stop watching Survivor for any reason, you know, but if I ever wanted to, now I feel like I could, you know, this really was a black cloud that was like hanging over me. You know, I really felt like this was a grave injustice. You know, it's like when somebody gets sent to prison for the wrong reason,
right?
You know, and when they like, get out, it's just this euphoric feeling. And yeah. I've never experienced anything like it, and I just wanted to, you know, sort of tell him that...
Like a Shawshank Redemption Island.
Yeah, you remember that scene where that, you know, what was the guy's name? The main guy, was it Tim Robbins?
Yes.
You know, when he...
Andy Dufresne?
Andy Dufresne, when he finally got out and he, like, you know, rips his shirt off, you know, after crawling through the sewer. there's so many parallels you could draw with that. But when he rips his shirt up and he just like looks to the heavens and it's just this feeling of jubilation.
Right.
That's kind of what I think that he, you know, he felt. I think it's what I felt. I think it's what every Boston Rob fan in the world felt. And, you know, you can have problems with him playing for the fourth time, but you certainly cannot deny that this is a man that deserved to win Survivor more than anyone. If not this season, then All Stars, for sure.
Yeah, he played a great game. I mean, I don't know how much I can argue with you about this
point.
Well,
then, no. Then take the stance that everybody has been messaging me going, oh, how can you credit Rob? Why did he get to play for the fourth time? You know, like, he had such an advantage over these players. Now, this is the point that I want to address with you, Rob.
Okay.
This point that he had an advantage over the other players. This is the key issue on the table. And the way that I argue it is I feel like he came into the game from the worst possible position. Okay, yeah, he knew how to build a shelter because he'd been there before. Yeah,
Russell came into the game from the worst possible position.
Okay, yeah, okay, well, both. I mean, both of them, that's fine. I mean, if he came into the game in the second worst position, that's fine too.
Right.
But What I mean from that is that, like, all the other players knew how Rob played, knew who he was.
No. I disagree with that.
Okay, tell me how you...
I believe that the other players saw Boston Rob as he was on Heroes versus Villains, where he was a leader, but they didn't see the part of the game where he has to stab everybody in the back to get to the end. Rob went back... Let me make my point here.
Okay.
Just like on Survivor Marquesas, when Boston Rob came back and played the All-Stars, people didn't consider him to be great strategic genius, because they hadn't seen that part of his game play out yet. And had Boston Rob come back, much like Russell did from Survivor 20 and again on Survivor 22, if in Survivor Palau, Boston Rob comes back, I guarantee you Boston Rob goes out very early in Palau, especially if he's on the other the tribe that loses all the immunities.
Right.
Maybe if he's on Tom Westman's team, he makes it to the merge and somehow is able to do it. But you know what I mean?
If he's on Karor, he's in good position. Yeah.
But whoever the survivors just see, whatever they just see happen, that's who they're going to target. And they just saw Russell get to the end and was duplicitous. And they voted him out.
But he had also done The Amazing Race twice. Like, I'm sorry. If you're going on a CBS show, you know who Boston Rob is.
But they only knew the Heroes versus Villains Rob.
So are you just assuming that they never watched what he did in the Amazing Race, or they never saw Marquesas, or they never...
Yeah, I would say that especially out of the people on Boston Rob's tribe, I think that would be very much in the minority.
It's a hard point for me to argue, and I don't know definitively. Like, that.
I mean, do you think that Natalie Tenorelli was, 10 years old and watching Survivor All Stars?
Can't argue that one. All right, here, ring your stupid bell. All right, you got a point there. Okay.
I mean, apparently Steve had seen it, but Grant, when it was brought up about, well, hey, this guy Lex got screwed. Grant was like, oh, that doesn't sound right. Like, I made an alliance with Rob. He's not going to screw me.
I see what you're saying. Okay, I'll give that to you. But I still think that even if we sort of take your position on that, I still feel like, you know, it's not an advantage for people to even know that you've played one, two, three times before. You know, you're still coming in there with a huge target on your back. Yeah. And
here's the trick for coming back on Survivor. Do just good enough to make it back on another Survivor. and that's the trick to doing well on an All-Star Survivor.
But by using that, like, you don't win the one that you're on, and you might not get cast again.
Well, I'm not saying that there's a science to it of exactly how to do it.
Okay.
But, I mean, look at the first All-Stars. You know, all the people who just, barely made it on, who weren't the threats, went on to do well. Parvati 1.0 was hardly a standout. Nobody was worried about her coming back the second time around.
Right.
And it's like the people that you really got to watch out for, with the exception of Parvati on Heroes versus Villains. Every other person that you're saying, oh my God, this person, we got to really watch out for them. We got to take care of them. And Rob was able to, he didn't have the big target on his back. And I give credit to him because he's very charismatic. And he did a good job, but he wasn't seen by his tribe as a villain.
That's the whole thing. Like, he did that. Like, he's the one who minimized the target on his back. Like, I still feel like, okay, I mean, I still feel like all these people coming into the game for the first time, you know, the Steves, the Ralphs, the Davids, you know, the Andreas, all of them, I still feel like they're coming in from a stronger position than a person that is known to be a player. You know, like, you can argue that they didn't know the ins and outs of how cutthroat he was, but certainly, Rob, you have to give me that they knew that this guy was a force to be reckoned with. Like, that's why he was coming back. And so the fact
I don't think they realized that he was a danger. I think the only person that realized how dangerous he was Christina. Everybody else felt like he's a leader. He's going to take us through the challenges. He knows what to do.
But then the question becomes, when did they realize that? Because my feeling is
Sunday.
He's the one. He's the one that made them believe that he wasn't a threat. He's the one that went up to them and said, listen, you know, I know it's probably in your best interest to take me out, but I'm not going to win this game. You know, like, he's the one that did it. You know, rather than like Russell, who went in there, you know, guns blazing, you know, I think that Rob had a much more effective strategy of ingratiating himself. I really, the biggest thing that people ask me right now is, would Rob have gotten to the end if he had started on Zapatera? And
that's a good question.
Right. And my opinion there is pretty unpopular, because I believe that, yes, I don't think a thing would have changed. Now, how do I argue that? It's because let's look at like Rob's allies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Over the years. So the first time that he played in Marquesas, it was like Sean Rector, I believe, was like his main go-to guy. When he came back for All-Stars, he had like Big Tom, and he had Rupert, okay? Alpha male. When he came back, you know, then he had like Tyson in his back pocket. And now this time he had Grant, you know what I'm saying? So like, now you know where I'm going with this. So
I hear you. I don't even disagree with what you're saying.
Okay, so, I mean, on Zapatera, I mean, you know, you have some, like, guys there that don't really differ from the people that I just mentioned. You had, like, Steve, and you had Mike, and you had David. I maintain that he could have easily gotten along with any of them, because Rob is charismatic. Watching the show, you know, you get an idea of it, but unless you've met the guy, I really don't think you get a full understanding of like how charismatic this guy is, you know.
All right, let's not get too David Healy about this. You know, I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. I agree with what you're saying. I think that Rob would have been fine on Zapatera.
Thank you. Okay, now, and let's say, for example, that the guys, because I don't think he would have ever gotten along with Ralph. I really don't. I think that Ralph was a lost cause. And you know, let's say Ralph had tried to make a move, try to get the guys against Rob. Well, then let's look at the women. You know, like, I really think that he would have had a shot, because if, you know, if Krista and Stephanie were so quick to jump on the Russell team, I can almost guarantee you that they could have jumped. I mean, I feel like he would have had perhaps even more numbers on Zapatera, you know, than he had on Ometepe. So I think that's a ridiculous point that people are saying.
Yeah, I think it would have been actually very similar. I think that if Rob was on Zapatera, I think I could definitely see him bonding with Steve and Mike. And I don't really think he would. I don't know why you think he would automatically feud with Ralph. I mean, Ralph seems like a good enough guy to get along with.
Ralph was in there to be the big man on campus. Okay, like, Ralph wanted to be the new face of Survivor. He wanted to be the guy that like eliminated Russell, that took out Rob. So I really believe that he wouldn't have given Rob a chance.
And I think that Russell on Ometepe would have had an alliance with Natalie and Ashley. And that would have been, and maybe Andrea too.
Totally. I think that's bang on. So really.
And he would have targeted Christina.
Yep.
And then, you know, the wild card would have been Philip. How Philip would have gotten along with Russell.
Do you also then agree that Russell would have probably gone after Grant? Because I certainly think that would have been the case.
I think, well, Russell tends to want to get out the strong women, the women who don't want to go along with his harem.
Right.
So I think he would have gone after, I actually think that would have been a more interesting show, Russell on Ometepe, because I think that Ometepe.
I don't agree, because Russell on Ometepe would have just been like Samoa all over again.
Well, I think that was a good season. But I think that it would have, that here's why I think it would have been a little more interesting, Russell on Ometepe, because I think that they would not have been as joined together. I don't think there would have been an Ometepe six who would have targeted Russell. Let's say, Christina and Francesqua wanted to get out Russell, and maybe they would get Grant with them. And maybe Matt Elrod wanted to get out Russell, but Matt Elrod and Russell apparently are BFFs.
Really? I didn't know about that.
I don't know. It seems like it, according to Twitter.
Really?
Yeah. And Nicole even told me, and again.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I do know what you're referring to. Okay, yes.
And Nicole even told me, this is hearsay, because I'm quoting Nicole, who has been known to have her facts wrong, that Russell tweeted that Matt should have won the fan favorite, Mertz.
Well, I'm not very happy about that. Honest.
Yeah. Now, does your love of Boston, Rob, has that spilled over into a feud with Russell this season?
Wow.
And the Russell the Russell supporters, has that
No, because I mean I think that Russell, at least, you know, I'm not going to argue about, you know, heroes versus villains, but I think that Russell has been very, very, very respectful of the game that Rob has played. You know, when he went out, he said that Rob is going to eat these people alive. That's what ended up happening. I was a very big fan of Russell shaking Rob's hand, you know, at the reunion. In fact, that was probably one of my favorite moments of the entire season, especially given, you know, what happened at Heroes versus Villains. I think that Russell is a very stand-up guy. Russell, you know, at the end of the day, is one of the biggest fans of this show. You know, like, I don't know what his relationship is like with you. I mean, I hear the whole thing, but I think at the end of the day, he is one of the biggest supporters of the show. And, you know,
I don't know if Russell's one of the biggest fans of the show. Has Russell seen more than 5 seasons of Survivor?
I mean, you know, I definitely think so. Yes, I definitely think so. Like, every conversation that I've had with Russell has been...
I got a can of Survivor Pringles in my closet. I'll give you $20 if Russell can get 5 of them right.
How many could I get right?
Probably all of them.
Mm, okay, well, no, but, I mean, you know,
but I wouldn't open them without a hazmat suit. They're about 8 years old.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Are the answers to any of them Boston Rob?
Probably. I mean, it goes up to Vanuatu. I got them at the 99-cent store in 2005.
I remember them very well. I remember them very well, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm eating them right now. No, I'm kidding. So I think that Russell is, you know, no, it's never really translated. I mean, certainly Russell and I butted heads a lot more in Heroes versus Villains because I maintained at the same time there that Rob is the greatest ever.
I think Russell is a fan of being famous from Survivor, but if
it's
Survivor without Russell, I think it's debatable just how interested he is.
I don't agree. I really believe that Russell is a fan of the show. I mean, you know him. He, you know, I really genuinely think he meant it when he shook Rob's hand. You know, like you could tell that wasn't the Russell hands that we're used to seeing. You know, it was a very, you know, did he turn into that on the reunion? Yes. But that initial handshake with Rob, I thought
for one brief shining moment.
Yeah, it was similar to when he exited the game, you know, where, you know, just for that one moment, you know, you think that he's changed a little and then he goes back into it. So I think that you sort of get the true Russell hands in short spurts, you know?
Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah, actually, the pun was intended. I was hoping you'd pick up on it.
There you go, Mertz.
Okay.
Mission accomplished.
Right, right. Merchant accomplished.
Yeah. Were you at the post-finale festivities?
Yeah, there were a lot of them. I mean, Grant wasn't really around at all. I didn't get to meet him. But yeah, like, I mean, I thought it was a very friendly cast. I mean, you know, the person that...
Well, you brought up Grant. Let's talk about Grant
okay,
a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, yeah.
Grant, you know, even though he voted for Rob, definitely took offense, a major offense, to the way Boston Rob played the game. And that was really the only backlash that Rob faced, was the line of questioning, who are you really, Boston Rob?
The greatest player ever, God, the Emperor of Survivor. That's what I would have said.
Now, I don't know if that would have won over any votes on the jury.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Yes, I'm saying that from a very removed position here in Canada.
So why exactly is Grant so upset? It seems like it's more than just getting voted out of the game.
I mean, you know, they keep referring to the fact that, I mean, Rob referred to it himself. I think it all started with that episode where, you know, Rob switched the clues. Feeding Grant the old clue and taking the new one. And I think that, you know, I think that's the only thing that I can see that would have pissed Grant off. You know, so, like perhaps he thought that was making him look dumb or something.
Yes.
I think that's the only thing. Like, I honestly don't think that Grant is upset about being voted off. You know, like, I mean, he didn't seem pissed at all when he walked off and was blindsided. I think it's just, you know, I think that he saw one face of Rob in the game. Mm-hmm. And now when he watches the show, he gets to see the Rob that I love, you know, the real Boston Rob, the confessional Boston Rob, yeah. You know, and I just don't think he can handle it.
Yes, and the Boston Rob, who is the only survivor who can is allowed to break the fourth wall and talk directly to the survivors as they're watching the show. He's almost like Zach Morris.
Yes.
In that he could be like, hey, time out.
Yeah.
Okay, Grant, when you're watching this at home, I'm going to screw you.
I do not disagree with that at all. I remember you said that before, like, you know, Boston Rob equals Zach Morris. I was totally on board. I don't remember seeing that fourth wall being broken by anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Okay,
so
now let me ask you this, Rob, then. Are there parallels between the Grant situation and the Lex situation on All-Stars?
I mean, in the fact that both people are upset at how Rob plays the game. I mean, the way that Rob plays the game is that, you know, he makes the other people, and I can speak to this, he makes you feel like, you know, that there is a friendship that holds some weight, and this is intentional on his part, but in reality, yeah, it holds weight, so you feel bad if you want to screw him over.
But I don't understand. At the end of the day,
he's not going to, you know, he's going to screw you over and not really feel that bad about it.
This is good gameplay, though. Like,
I'm not saying it's not.
But
I'm just telling you.
Why do people have such a problem with this? Like, why do people have such a problem with him, like, you know, making him, you know, making you feel like you're his best friend and then voting you out? That's the whole nature of this game. Your issue then is not with Boston Rob. Your issue is then with the game, okay? I don't understand all these people going, oh, how can he sleep at night? And he's so unethical. And why does he, like, you know, trade his morals to win $1 million?
Now, I'm not saying that, for the record.
But many are. But many are. And
few are.
No,
few are.
I do not agree. I think the grand majority of people.
No, the grand majority of people are cheering for Boston Rob and were ecstatic that he won.
This season they are, but where were they? These people are all jumping on the Boston Rob bandwagon, okay? These people were not saying that on All Stars, you know?
Oh, yeah, because everybody. All the fans really were up in arms when Rob and Amber got married.
Well, I mean, the one thing I want to say for sure, and I think that this is a stance that I think a lot of people will be surprised by, and I've told Rob this directly as well. While I love the game that Boston Rob plays, while I feel he is the greatest ever, even I do not agree with what happened to Lex on All Stars. Even
Ooh.
I can admit that that's the one thing about Boston Rob that I didn't like. You know, I really do feel like that took it, you know, one step over the line. And so I think that, you know, a lot of people think that I, you know, defend what happened to Lex and that, you know, as Rob's staunchest supporter, I was okay with it. And I wasn't, you know, like, I think that if we go back to All Stars, I think that the right move, and I don't think we've ever discussed this, Rob, at least
I don't think
in detail,
so.
But I think that the right move would have been to eliminate anybody else on Lex's team and then get rid of Lex. You know, I think that there should have been a one tribal council cooling off period after Lex had saved Amber, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just like the kind of thing where if he did that, and for whatever reason, it came back to bite him in the ass, mm-hmm. it would be the kind of thing you would look back and talk about with Ice Cream Scooper Eric and JT writing a letter. Like, remember the time that Boston Rob has seemed to have the game in his hand, but then he let Lex stick around for another tribal council.
Right, and then Lex went on, like, some big immunity run. Like, I mean, I see your point. But anyway, so I didn't want to get
you
that.
You can't do that. The bed was made. And it's almost like just
rip the Band-Aid off rather than, you know, extend.
I was gonna be a little more more graphic than rip the Band-Aid off, but it seems to work.
It depends on where the Band-Aid is, and for the majority of people it should be on their egos because Rob just stomped all over them with that amazing display on Redemption Island. Let me ask you this. We talked just a minute ago about this ability that Rob has to make the people that he plays with feel like they're his best friend. On All Stars, did he make you feel that way?
Not particularly during the All Star game, but in the months leading up to the All Stars, I did feel like that Rob and I were, you know, fair. I would, you know, not BFF. But
I remember you were standing right next to me when we both got an invite to go to Fenway Park.
Yes, and I went to Fenway Park with Boston Rob, and I did feel like we were very close friends.
Wait, you actually went?
Yes, I have pictures. I was actually there with like half my tribe. That Alicia was there. Yeah, a couple.
When was this? Was this before? Or after?
This was like a month before the game started.
So it was after Cincinnati, but before the game.
This was like September. It was Labor Day weekend of 2003. It was like 6 weeks before I'm on the beach with these guys.
Wow. Do you think that Alicia would ever go to a Red Sox game with Boston Rob now?
Probably not. I mean, out of all those people, yeah, she seems like she's actually under the radar for being still mad at Rob, I think.
Right.
But I don't want to say that Boston Rob, like this was all his master plan, that he, led me, said, oh, I'm going to make friends with Rob C so that I can screw him later on. I just think, it's like, hey, I'm going to be friends with everybody, but at the end of the day, I'm going to screw, and I would have screwed him over too. I'm not making any sort of moral judgment.
So then why do people hold it against Rob? Just because he's good at it?
Because he's been successful at it. I don't know.
Exactly.
But jealousy. I do think
I mean, we're skirting around the issue, okay?
Yeah.
But that's what it is, okay? It's pure jealousy. It's all these people, whether it's...
I subscribe to that. Yeah.
Whether it's former survivors or fans or applicants that want to get on the show, this all boils down to jealousy, okay? Rob got to play for a fourth time. I'm telling you, there are people that would literally, I don't even want to go into the details of what they would do to get back on the show. But suffice to say, that's a great question for Brooke Garrity, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you that I think that a lot of the Boston Rob animosity is out of sheer jealousy. That he has, and not just that he's been on the show so many times, but I think also jealousy over the abject favoritism that Jeff Probst seems to, the lofty praise that Jeff Probst
That's not Rob's fault, that's not his fault that Jeff has this, need for a bromance with him. I think a lot of the detractors are just blaming Rob. The thing is, Rob goes in there, he plays, a great game every time, and then he just removes himself from the whole situation, and it's really troubling to me that people prosecute him for this, I mean, if there's any proof of the fact that he's just going in there playing a game and is done with it and is cool with everybody after, I mean, just look at his history, He doesn't really go to anything else after. He just goes in there and he plays the game the best way that he knows how. He doesn't get involved in a lot of the politics after, and he leaves,
Right.
I don't understand how there's so much resounding jealousy.
Well, I think that one thing that he could do a little better,
yeah,
is after the fact, after these games are over. And I know that I think that he made some overtures to try to, patch things up with Lex or call him or whatever. But he doesn't seem particularly, concerned. And that's fine. And I guess he did try to reach out with Grant once or twice, but you don't get the sense that he really sort of bent over backwards.
Yeah, but I mean, why should you have to beg Grant? That's
a fair point.
I'm with Rob. I mean, maybe he owes you 1, 2, 3 phone calls, and then if you don't want anything to do with him, then the problem is with you. It's not with him.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, at the end of the day, people got, you can't walk around, carrying these grudges forever. It's not a healthy thing to do.
I never for one minute suspected that you were ever jealous of Rob, and I think that I can't say that for a lot of people,
I mean, that certainly Boston Rob has had the survivor career that just about maybe outside of 2 or 3 people that, the survivor career that all of us would have loved to have had. And then ultimately culminating in him winning the game.
And you know what, Rob? Sorry, I'm going to interrupt there for a second.
Go for it.
Because that brings up a point that I wanted to discuss. I seem to remember a scraggly, bearded, tie-dye wearing survivor. Do you know this person that I'm talking about?
Yes.
And do you remember this person being handed $1 million?
Where are you going with this, Mertz?
I think you know where I'm going. Rob was not handed $1 million. He went out there with a chance and took it. There was no vote. Okay.
Well,
so
that,
all these people crying and going on and on that he didn't deserve it. Give me a flipping break.
Well, fair enough. That's a great point. That I don't. I think that there were certain survivors that were, you know, annoyed about the fact that Rupert got $1 million just for being the most popular.
Yeah, but the hatred was not nearly as visceral as it is for Rob, and you know it.
Yeah, like I would have liked to have seen an America's Tribal Council right after Survivor Amazon. That would have been good.
Totally. Totally. No, I'm with you. You know, like a lot of these people are like, oh, you know, he didn't deserve it. Well, he went out there, you know, with the biggest target on his back, save for maybe Russell, and still went out there and earned it. You know, like, you know, nothing was handed to the guy. I mean, if he, you know, this whole thing about like how they followed him blindly and blah, 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 blah. I mean, he still went out there and won individual immunities. If he was so safe, you know, if these people would do whatever he said, then mm-hmm. why'd he go out there and win the immunity? Because at the end of the day, the man is still a competitor. You know, the man still plays Survivor the way it's supposed to be played. And mm-hmm. whatever.
All right. So, Mertz, you said you were at these post-finales. You have any scoops, anything that of newsworthiness to report?
Yes. The person that I would really like to bring up and the person that I felt was the star of the post, you know, festivities, I think will shock you.
It Phillip's was friend from the Federal Agent Academy?
I have no idea who that was.
Yeah.
And like the amount of time that she got on the reunion, I thought was a little excessive, too.
A little Bradshaw-esque.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was very.
That really tickled you. So who was it? Who was your breakout star?
It was Krista Klump.
Krista Klump? She didn't even get to talk.
Well, I mean, you asked me what happened at the. I'm not talking about.
Go for it.
I'm talking about the post festivities. I just think that, like, I think she had a lightning rod of a person, you know.
An L rod.
Yeah. Like, I mean, initially when I saw her at the hotel, you know, I didn't say hi because, you know. I don't know if I should. I'm just going to say it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. She looks a lot like Natalie White, okay? I mean, she does. Like, even in real life, she looks a lot like her. And I initially thought that it was Natalie.
So did Russell.
Yeah, and she was with Russell at the time. so, anyway, but then, you know, I really got to hang out with her. It didn't really hurt.
My bizarro Natalie White.
It's really uncanny how... Like, I can't even tell you how, like, much they resemble each other physically, let alone their personalities.
So she was really fun? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and, like, it didn't hurt that she came there with, like, all of her Auburn cheerleaders either, you know?
Whoa!
And Russell was hanging out with them the whole time. They were pretty much the in crowd.
There you go.
So, yeah, I think that she definitely did not get enough screen time. You know, I just think she had a great personality. Certainly, very, very, very smart. And, you know, I think I wanted to, while we're on the subject, I mean, one of the points that I couldn't really rationalize was Stephanie and Krista going with Russell at the outset of Zapatero, which pretty much cost them both the game. And I think in sort of talking to them after the fact, I get a better idea of like what they were doing. You know, like at first I thought it was suicide. You know, why would you go up against your entire tribe just with Russell? But I think that there was definitely a lot more thought behind their moves than we saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I said, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's just like what Rob says. You know, Rob and Russell actually play a very similar game, just in the sense that like Russell said, you know, all I need is loyalty. You know, just give me my two and I'll take you all out. And Rob sort of says the same thing, you know, like he basically just wanted Natalie and then he can sort of like pick up everybody else. So for however different they are on paper, at least, you know, I think that it all boils down to the loyalty. And I think that loyalty is probably the trait that you need the most to win this game. And so, sorry, so to go back to the subject, I didn't really see Sarita a lot. The Ometepe kind of crowd was, you know, just as tight as they were on the show as they were like after. Matt Elrod actually surprised me a lot. You know, like I actually was very annoyed by him.
Really?
No. Sorry, I meant on the show. I meant on the show. But in real life, I thought that he was great. Like, I mean, I don't know if that was just the edit or what, but like he was, he was definitely not like Bible thumping the entire time. Which
what was he thumping?
Don't forget the T there, Rob. Don't forget the T. But no, I just thought he was a great conversationalist, very, very, very down to earth, and a very nice guy. You know, if he is one of these people that's going to come back, he certainly made me a fan of his. Outside of the game.
All right. Well, since you brought it up, I know the speculation has been rampant about who is going to go back on the show. Do you have any notions about who these two mysterious returning survivors could be?
I mean, just the same as everybody else. It's just, what I think, my guess. I am sitting here, actually, as soon as I finish this podcast with you, I'm actually going to go pray for a while that it's Rob and Amber.
that would be pretty good.
Hopefully in an all winners. Actually, I want to talk about that too later. I think that just going off this past season, I think that the most likely scenario would probably be Matt and Mike.
Mike wasn't even on the show.
I agree. Am I saying that I would pick,
this makes no sense, Mike.
Am I saying that I would pick the guy? No, but I'm saying that, like, just, you know.
And how many chances are we going to give Matt Elrod to play Survivor?
I would be stunned if Matt Elrod was not there. And just bear with me here for a second. Like, this next season, South Pacific, once again, in the preview, all they did was talk about Redemption Island again, which leads me to believe that it's basically a theme of, like, redeeming redemption. So I feel like that just the fact that they're bringing Redemption Island back, I can see Matt there. You know, like, perhaps.
I don't think so. It makes no sense to bring Matt Elrod back. The guy was on in the game for 7 days.
Exactly. That's why I think he's coming back.
More Matt Elrod.
I think Matt Elrod is a lock. So the only one that becomes debatable, at least for me, is the next position. Like, I just think that, like, I think that the way it's going to be spun is, like, you know, these guys are like Redemption Island veterans. So, like, perhaps, you know, you have to beat them or something, like, on Redemption. I don't know. I think that's the most likely scenario.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I've heard, like, guy and girl. I've heard, like, Philip versus coach and stuff, but I'm sticking, at least for now, with Matt and Mike. I got to tell you that.
And I think that Boston Rob has screwed whoever is going to go back, because just like what I was saying earlier, whatever the people who are the new contestants have just seen is going to be most fresh in their mind. And so if Dan Liu and Rhino show up on the beach, they're going to be like, "Oh, we got to get rid of Dan Liu. I just saw Boston Rob come back,
can Dan Liu just get a break? Damn it!
No,
even in this hypothetical scenario you set up, you got to vote him out first.
he's gonna be in trouble.
You already got him. Amazon was over.
No, I'm just, but you know what I'm saying. If it's two girls, maybe not, maybe they don't see the same way, but if a veteran Survivor player comes back, they're toast.
I think you could make a case that it might be Andrea too, you know, like she was the one who, you know, like, they might like this whole, you know, like Jeff was asking Andrea about what the relationship like is with Matt, you know, Andrea was the one that finally got rid of Matt and came back into the game. So maybe, you know, and that fulfills the guy-girl scenario. So maybe Andrea and Matt. I mean, I don't know. I just think Matt Elrod is there. I really do.
The only thing that makes me think that there's a possibility of that is how well he did in the fan favorite vote, that he's bringing in a lot of the Christian people to watch the show. And so if he's bringing in ratings, then he's paying his own way to be on the show. So that's the only thing that in his favor.
I just hope that it's the Matt that was at the parties instead of the Matt that we saw on the show, because that Matt seemed like, it was so weird, Rob. It was so weird. It was like seeing somebody totally different and somebody that I would have actually loved to see on the show. So that the dichotomy in Matt, I thought, was interesting. I think that we got a very sort of one-sided perspective of him. Right. Who do you think? So do you agree with me?
I don't have a good guess. Yeah. I mean, I said Philip versus Coach the other night, but I don't know. I haven't heard one great scenario that I said, you know what, that's it. That makes a lot of sense.
How would you feel if Boston Rob came back?
I mean, I think that we'd really be beating a dead horse at that point. Like, it's got to be. I don't know. I think at some point we got to move on from Boston Rob with this show.
Why?
Because what is left to see, Mertz?
I don't think so at all. I mean, I wish the virtual living room was, you know, Rob's kitchen. You know, I mean, I'm even ready for Rob to now host the show.
Right. So let me ask you this. So how was the Survivor alumni turnout for this finale?
Oh, not good.
Not good. All right, who'd you see?
Alumni-wise, I think, I can go on the record as saying it was the least alumni-attended finale ever, and maybe that speaks to the jealousy point of Boston Rob that, you know, we were referring to earlier. I mean, it has to go hand in hand. But I saw the New York crew, like Stephen Fishback, your BF.
The wine and cheese crew?
Mertz to Boston Rob is Rob Cesternino to Stephen Fishback. So you'll be glad to know that Stephen Fishback, your partner in crime, was there with Courtney.
Mertz to Boston Rob is what?
Rob.
Let me write this down so I can follow this SAT-like analogy.
Okay. Mertz to Boston Rob is... Actually, maybe it's the other way around. Mertz to Boston Rob is Stephen Fishback to Rob Cesternino.
So Stephen is my biggest fan?
I believe so.
Oh, well, Stephen's a great guy.
And
the feeling is mutual.
Okay, exactly. So it's like the Mertz Boston Rob, like Stephen Fishback Rob Cesternino thing. There's nothing wrong with it.
I guess so.
And by the way, you know, I think I should have been invited to that wedding. Okay, I've known you a lot longer than Stephen Fishback has. FYI, just.
Well, I believe you said you wanted to be in the wedding party.
Yeah, I do, because I'm not just going to show up and sit down. I mean, here's the thing, Rob. I just like having a role in the wedding. I like to be in the program, okay? And I mean, you know, I would have helped you, like, you know, maybe clean up the floor. I don't know. I just wanted a role. And, you know, I didn't really want to air our grievances publicly, but I certainly felt like I should have been at that wedding, definitely.
Well, Mertz, my next wedding, I will promise you, you will have a spot in the wedding party.
Okay.
Now let me ask you, how about this? Who was more excited, you on Sunday night or Boston Rob in October of 2004 following the Red Sox coming back 3-0 against the Yankees and winning the World Series?
That was the greatest thing ever. However, it's a no contest. I mean, I went pretty crazy when Rob won. You know, like it was. I didn't want to say it like this, but, you know, when I come on here, Rob, I come unfiltered.
Unfiltered. Okay?
And unfiltered, it was the happiest moment of my entire life. It really was. It really was. Like, I was just so... I can't even... There's not even word. In fact, I'm kind of tearing up right now talking about
it. So, bigger moment for you than for Boston Rob winning the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I think that... I mean, I was trying to gauge whether I was happier or Amber was happier, you know, when Jeff read that final vote. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty it just was great to sort of, you know, the thing is.
The Rob monkey was won, off your back at that point.
That, you got it. Like, Rob won.
You can die in peace.
Rob won. You got to understand, Rob, that I said what I'm saying now to you. I said it immediately after Marquesas. OK, it's documented. I wrote about it. And so I've been advocating for Rob, you know, since 2002, and I just feel like everything that I've been saying was validated. All these people that are like, oh, you know, you think you're the world's foremost reality TV expert. Well, I can name all the boot order people in order from season one and blah, 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 blah. And I think it just sort of validated, everything that I've been saying. You know, I feel like it just sort of eclipsed all of the defending that I've had to do. And I think it's sort of just, right. You know, at least it just sort of, it, you know, when you're an accountant or a doctor or a pharmacist, okay.
Where is this going?
You can just like pull out like some certificate that you got to prove your credentials. It's difficult when you're the world's foremost reality TV expert. Okay.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So you put all your eggs in Boston Rob's basket, and now that basket has been named the, for all intents and purposes, the greatest basket of all time.
That's correct. And it's very validating to me. You know, like, I was personally invested in this season. I was professionally invested in this season. And just like every time Rob has said something to me, he has come through on the prompt every single time.
You know? Are you worried, Mertz, at some point, Boston Rob, he's built this friendship with you. At some point, Boston Rob may stab you in the back.
No. I'm not concerned at all, because Rob has made many promises to me. And mm-hmm.
So you say Boston Rob will never stab you in the back.
I'm very comfortable in saying that, yes, because
Mertz, this is what. Well, someday you might be the next Grant.
Listen, Rob. Okay, if I was in a game against Boston Rob, okay,
yes,
and it started off, maybe it's like a fans versus favorite thing, whatever. Actually, I don't like that word. If it was a world's foremost reality TV experts, you know, versus like favorites,
right?
Yeah, or advocates versus whatever. The thing is, I would see Rob over there, and while I would first like shake his hand a la Russell, and not a la Tom, I would then promptly throw the first challenge and vote myself off, because I do not feel like I am worthy of playing against the greatest ever.
You would really fall on your own sword.
Yeah, I would, because I mean, I honestly don't think we're even worthy to see such like, I really don't. Like, we just saw the greatest thing. It's like seeing like the same pitcher, you know, throw like four no hitters in his first four starts, you know? And I'm not saying that he threw like three no hitters, you know, he
it was more like you know, a pitcher had really good stuff, but you know, went out in the fourth inning in his first start, and then in the second start, like went the distance, but you know, lost the game 1-0.
No, it's like he got a one hitter,
and then the third time he had really good stuff, but he got like knocked out in the fifth inning.
Injured because some crazy guy ran out from the stands and ruined everything and knocked him off the mound.
Yeah, that's pretty much like what happened.
Who likes to tweet a lot?
Oh, Tyson? What, you don't like Tyson?
I'm not naming any names, but yes, he might have been related to a boxer or something.
Now, why don't you like Tyson?
I love Tyson. I'm just saying that Tyson did not follow instructions, and he will be the first one to admit that. And I feel like that's why, you know, the things happened in Heroes versus Villains the way that they did. I think that that's a very fair point to say, you know. What bothers me is, oh, you know, Russell is so much better than Rob. That's all I heard after Heroes vs. Villains. How can you stick beside Rob? Russell went all the way again. Well, let's not forget that Rob figured out exactly what was going to happen with that idol. And it was just because Tyson voted the wrong way, the way that his leader told him not to. And that's the only reason that Rob went home. And you know it.
I hear what you're saying. How about this? Are you in a Facebook war with Johnny Fairplay right now?
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a war. I mean, yes, have we been in a disagreement over the...
Are you feuding with Johnny Fairplay right now?
I don't carry any grudges at all. Fairplay, I think, has one stance on Boston Rob, and I have a completely different one.
Will you be able to bury the hatchet over this?
That's up to Johnny Fairplay. Like I told him, I don't carry any ill will. Like I said, this is not my opinion on this is not very popular. You know, I know this. I've known this for 8 years.
Are you waiting for a apology from Johnny Fairplay?
That's up to him. I mean, I don't have a problem with him. He has a problem with my staunch defense of Boston Rob, which many people do. But this is, you know, this is me, Rob. Like, I haven't changed in 8 years, and I'm not going to change my stance on Rob Mariano for anybody. Yeah. So take it or leave it.
All right. Well, now, Mertz, this weekend, you're heading back to New York for another finale, for the Celebrity Apprentice finale.
That's right.
And I want to talk a little bit about Celebrity Apprentice. Now,
sure.
If this is... if you haven't
heading, and I'm also then heading to American Idol and hopefully Dancing with the Stars as well in LA.
Wow.
Yes.
The world's foremost reality TV expert never sleeps.
No, he does not. And especially, you know, given the example that Rob gave me, it has just made me want to strive harder to be the best that I can be.
Yes. Mertz, will you eat rice that is not crispy?
No.
All right. Now on your way to New York for the celebrity.
And it's brown rice. Okay. Let's just say that there was a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge, okay, as to why that rice was brown. But anyway, another story for another day. And also, you know, the Merge tribe name was Merlonio. I mean, you know, I think that that was a little throw to Mertz as well.
Mertzlonio.
That's correct.
So, that being said,
okay.
So you're off to New York for the Celebrity Apprentice finale. Final two, Marley Matlin
with
and
Stephen Fishback, by the way.
Yes.
First of all, Stephen Fishback ruined it for me, okay?
How so?
I don't know how that guy was watching both the Celebrity Apprentice and the Survivor finale at the same
He's
time, but
good.
I don't ask these types of questions. Perhaps he has some, like, Inspector Gadget phone, which wouldn't surprise me from Stephen Fishback. But, you know, I walk in, and the first thing Fishback is like, oh, yeah, so it's John Rich and Marley, and I'm like, thanks a lot.
Maybe he's getting Twitter updates.
Who knows?
Who knows?
And also, sorry, I don't want to keep interjecting, but I really have a big problem, and I told Stephen Fishback this
too.
When he writes his people column, and he refers to Rob as Grandpa Mariano, okay, that really irks me, okay? I really enjoy Stephen's column, but he's not Grandpa Mariano, okay? That's not funny, okay? He's not he's not like 65, okay? Sorry.
Well, does Stephen Fishback owe you a formal apology?
I'm not happy about the Grandpa Mariano thing, but I let him know that, and it's fine. I mean, you know, he's also dating Courtney, who is probably Rob's second biggest defender after myself. So that earns Stephen a lot of rights by default.
Okay. All right. So in the final two, it's Marley Matlin versus John Rich. Do you have a handicap on this, Mertz?
Well, you know, I thought it was going to be lock, stock, and barrel for Marley Matlin, definitely. I thought that Marley Matlin was just sort of being positioned in a way to win. Not that there's a lot of logic in this season of The Celebrity Apprentice, but the teams, I mean, I don't know what happened with those teams. I mean,
terrible picks by Marley Matlin.
I don't understand what Marley was doing with those
worst picks. Yeah, worst draft ever.
Of all time. But I gotta say, I mean, you know, Brett Michaels won last time. I feel like a woman is due.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with Marley, I think.
The signs do point to Marley. Nicole and I were bickering about this a little bit on our last Celebrity Apprentice podcast, which we did last night.
Yeah.
And I said that I feel like even though all the signs point to John Rich, I feel like Trump is not going to be able to fire Marley with her handicap. She's beloved.
You got it. Somebody knows his reality TV. And also, don't forget that, you know, in that roast, the Donald Trump roast, I mean, Marley was on fire, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe that, like, you know, Trump is a guy that just sort of strikes me as somebody who just picks who he likes, you know? And I think he really
likes...
Not
Donald Trump.
But yeah, what was up with those picks? Can you find any justification for what she did?
No, it was terrible. I mean, she just went through the whole debacle of Meatloaf with the OnStar task.
Yeah.
Why she would pick Meatloaf with the first pick when Mark McGrath is sitting there on the board. It's a draft bust in the making, Meatloaf. Terrible job.
How great was Meatloaf, like, putting on the wig?
very disturbing, the whole thing. Now, Mertz, if Donald Trump, who has resigned from running for president...
Boston Rob is the answer to your question.
You don't even know the question I was going to ask yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So, if Donald Trump decided to run for president, and in 2012 became the president of the United States, would you consider becoming an American citizen?
Well, I don't see how the two are correlated.
You would not want to live in a country under Donald Trump's rule?
I would actually love to. I mean, does that mean that, you know, his son has some degree of power? Because let me tell you, I'm a big fan of Donald Trump Jr.
Yes.
A big, big fan. A very big fan. I know Nicole doesn't like him. I don't know why. It's the only point I think that I ever have disagreed with Nicole on. But yeah, I mean, if that means that Donald Trump Jr. has any kind of power, yeah, then I would consider it, definitely.
And you were upset when you heard that Nicole was not going to be on this podcast.
Yeah, and I haven't really gotten a proper explanation as to why. I know that, you know,
she has a job.
Piloxing. What the hell is piloxing?
It's a combination of Pilates and boxing. Nicole takes her fitness very seriously, Mertz.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I wasn't, you know, I'm just a big fan of Nicole's hosting ability. And so, yes, I
was. Well, I'm sure she'll appreciate that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I had a whole sort of like Boston, you know, I mean, I was very well prepared for this podcast, you know, like I had a whole list of funny things to tell Nicole about Boston Rob. But anyway,
do you want to pretend Nicole is here?
No.
Oh, well, is there anything about Boston Rob or The Celebrity Apprentice that you feel like you did not get to say?
I'm actually very happy that I've had the platform to truly defend him. You know, I think that like I said, I think that we've addressed the biggest thing. And the biggest thing is, was it fair for him to come back for a fourth time against a bunch of new players? And I guess that the main thing that I want to say is I believe it was, because the point that people are not paying any attention to, and the final point that I really want to reiterate, is he came in there for the fourth time with a gigantic target on his back. So whereas everybody thinks that it's this huge advantage because he's played before, I don't think it was. You know, I think that he actually had to fight his way out of that hole, he managed to do so effectively.
I disagree with you on that one point, in that the season they just saw of him did not portray him unflatteringly. It portrayed him actually quite flatteringly.
Right.
It's
a good point, but we don't know how much they've seen. So that's why I disagree. Like, we don't know how much, you know.
Well, let's go through Boston Rob's tribe. And you tell me real quick before we go.
Okay.
And you tell me if they've ever seen Boston Rob act in a unflattering way.
Correct. And recounting the amazing race. And
any previous Boston Rob incarnation besides Survivor Heroes versus Villains, which was 12 seasons following the last time he was on the show.
Correct.
All right. So let's go in order. Did Francesca?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Did Christina?
100%.
Okay. And what did they try to do when they got on the island?
They tried to get rid of him.
Okay. All right. So now, did Philip?
I'd say maybe not live, but I feel like, you know, if he knew he was going on the show, he would have, like, looked, you know. I'm going to go with yes.
I don't think so. I don't think he's seen very much Survivor.
I'm not sure about that one, though. I'll give you a maybe.
And also recruited, not watching a Survivor before.
Good point. Okay, I'll stick with a maybe.
Okay. Andrea?
100% yes.
Okay, I give you that one. Matt Elrod?
No.
Natalie Tenorelli?
No.
Ashley Underwood?
Yes.
No, come on. Mertz, you think she's taking time out from being in the beauty pageant to be watching The Survivor?
I think that she probably, you know, has, you know, went to buy groceries and seen the magazine stand and seen the biggest reality star of all time. And probably picked up the magazine. Yes, I do.
I don't know. What was the last magazine cover Boston Rob was on before this season?
I'd have to go up and check in my museum, but, I don't know. He was on TV Guide a few times.
Not recently.
Ashley Underwood was
15 years old last time Boston Rob was on the magazine cover.
This is not a police interrogation, okay? I think that Ashley knows who Boston Rob is? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mertz, I'm gonna bring this thing in for a landing right now. mostly because I see that the computer that I record these podcasts, it says it's running low on disk space, and I don't want to risk us possibly not having this recording. So I'm going to cut it short, Mertz. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Anything else you want to get out of the way?
No, I feel very satisfied, and I also want to thank you for giving me the time, I think, to really get my message across. And it was very important to me, and I know I really bugged you about it, that I really wanted a platform to defend Rob. And you finally, I think, gave it to me. I felt a little rushed the last time, but this time I feel like I've really addressed
everything.
Except
for this last part, right.
What's that? Yes.
All right, Mertz. Well, thanks so much for coming on. You articulated your points very well, and maybe along the way converted some of the hearts and minds of the people who had turned against Boston Rob somewhere along the way.
That sounds great. Hopefully I'll talk to you after I'm back from The Apprentice sometime.
All right, good luck in New York this weekend. Say hi to Donald Trump Jr. for us.
I will for you, but not for Nicole.
All right, take care, buddy.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. The world's foremost reality TV expert, Mertz Jaffer. So that's going to do it for this edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I'm going to be back with another podcast very soon with Dalton Ross. We're going to talk about the top 22 seasons of Survivor and get into all that with Dalton Ross. And should be good stuff. So until next time, everybody, take care.